Today, we're welcoming back our good friend Gary Dereshinsky as he talks about Messiah in the Psalms, right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, the daily Bible teaching program sponsored by CJF Ministries in San Antonio, Texas. You can visit us online at cjfm.org. This is Liz Aiello. Today, Gary Dereshinsky is leading our study of Messiah in the Psalms. In this brand new series, Gary guides us through an overview of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Israel's ultimate deliverer, provider, shepherd and king, savior and Lord. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now with today's study, here's Gary.
Shalom everyone, and thank you for tuning into Messianic Perspectives. Today we will conclude our study of Messiah in the Book of Psalms by taking a look at Psalm 118. At first glance, this psalm may not immediately appear to be a messianic psalm at all. But when we get to verse 22, this assessment seems to change. This verse states, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Could the stone spoken of here be another title for the Messiah? And what is meant by the idea of rejection in this passage as well? This psalm is understood by both the Talmud and Midrash to be an antiphonal psalm. That is, a psalm that is sung in procession with alternating parts. Most likely, this psalm was sung by worshipers as they ascended up to the temple in Jerusalem in worship of the Lord. Perhaps it was used on one of the pilgrimage feasts, such as Passover, or Shavuot, or Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles. According to the Jewish tradition, verses 1 to 19 were sung by the Levites in processional on their way to worship the Lord. By verse 19, which states, "Open for me the gates of righteousness, I will enter and give thanks to the Lord," the Levites stood at the entrance to the temple. Verses 20 to 27 were then sung by accompanying priests, who opened the gate wide for these Levites to be received. Then the gathered priests sung verse 28, and everyone joined in together to sing verse 29, which repeats the call at the beginning of the psalm, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever." At the heart of the psalm is the stone mentioned in verse 22. Evidently, the stone that was set in the laying of the foundation of the temple was at first rejected, but then this rejected stone becomes the capstone for the entire structure. This is further seen as an unanticipated turn of events because the psalmist states it was the doing of God and that it was of a miraculous nature, the result of which is great rejoicing and celebration. The stone in this verse is a metaphor for someone else. For what is said about this stone is not dissimilar to what occurs in the life of David. When Samuel is sent to anoint as king one of the sons of Jesse, David is similarly rejected by his own family. His father must have considered him unsuitable to receive such an anointing because he completely forgets about him and leaves him out of the anointing process. His brothers did not respect him, and in fact scorned him and misunderstood him. Saul had tried on numerous occasions to kill him, and his first wife Michal, Saul's daughter, despised him and considered him unworthy to be king. Even his favored son Absalom rebels against him. Among the people of Israel, only those described as being in distress, in debt, and discontent gathered together with him. So despised was David that it would take not one but three anointings as king before he was acknowledged as Israel's ruler, and at first he was only acknowledged by the tribe of Judah. But what the people of Israel rejected, God would accept and elevate to be the leader of his people. From the beginning, this was God's plan and purpose, both for David and for his people. As noted before, this psalm opens and closes with the invitation to give thanks to the Lord. The reason for giving thanks is due to God's loving kindness, which endures forever. In this psalm, repetition in threes stands out. At the outset of the psalm, three times Israel is called upon to affirm that God's love for his people endures forever. The emphasis is on the eternality of God's love, which in turn reminds us of God's covenantal promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. In verses 5 through 18, Israel is reminded of the Lord's ongoing help. In verse 5, the Lord is said by the psalmist to answer me when he calls. In verse 6 and 7, the Lord is with me. While in verses 8 and 9, twice the psalmist exclaims that the Lord is his refuge. And in verses 10 through 12, three times the psalmist states, "In the name of the Lord, I cut off my enemies." In verses 15 to 16, three times he makes reference to the Lord's right hand, which provided deliverance. This sounds very much like the deliverance Israel experienced through the Exodus from Egypt. Then in verse 19, the psalmist makes three requests. The first is the request to open for me the gates of righteousness. The second request is allow me to enter into the place from which the blessings of God flow. And the third request is to be allowed to give thanks to the Lord along with all God's people. When we get down to verse 21, we are then introduced to the Lord's salvation, which is described as the rejected stone which has become the capstone. As stated earlier, the taking of the rejected stone and making it the capstone is described as the work of God, which is further described as marvelous in our eyes. The word translated marvelous is the Hebrew word peli, meaning that which is hard, difficult, or marvelous in the sense of being miraculous. This word is used to speak of the very name of God himself in the book of Judges when Samson's father asks the angel of the Lord, "What is your name?" The response he is given is that it is too wonderful or beyond comprehension. This is essentially what God says to Moses when Moses asks God at the burning bush for his name. And what God says is, "I am that I am." This is the same word used in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where the Messiah's name is said to be Wonderful Counselor. This is also the word that appears in Genesis 18, verse 14, where God reassures Sarah that she will have a son of her own with the words, "Is anything too hard or wonderful or miraculous for me?" All this evidence points to the fact that while in a limited sense David is a rejected stone made a capstone, he is not the one meant here in the ultimate sense. For only the Messiah is salvation, as stated in verse 21. No wonder then, when the Jewish writers of the New Testament wanted to demonstrate that the Hebrew Scriptures taught that Israel's Messiah would first be rejected before being installed as Israel's king, they often cited this verse. Quotations of Psalm 118, verse 22 abound in the New Testament. All four gospel writers appeal to this passage, as does Paul in his letters to the Romans, Corinthians, and Ephesians. Peter in his first letter cites this psalm, as does the writer of the book of Hebrews. The Messiah of Israel was to first be rejected and then at a later time be received as king. This, of course, is what Jesus himself taught. He said he would be betrayed. He said he would suffer and die. And he said he would rise on the third day. But he also said that after his resurrection he would depart and would not be seen again until Israel proclaimed, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." When Israel does that, the stone they had first rejected would then be made the capstone for all to see. And at that time, they will experience his great salvation as well. What about you, dear listener? Have you rejected the Messiah? If so, you also have opportunity to have a change of mind and heart and accept him as your Lord and Savior. A day is coming when he will, as the capstone, be installed as king for all to see. Why not accept him now? Why not do it today? Why not receive him as your king? Thank you for tuning in to Messianic Perspectives, and thank you for joining me in these 6 studies on the Messiah in the Book of Psalms.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you, listening friends, for joining us today. It's always good to have you with us here on Messianic Perspectives. We hope you're enjoying this new series from Pastor Darashinsky. If you'd like your own copy, or perhaps a copy for a friend, you'll be glad to know that the entire series is available on CD for the suggested gift of just $6 or more. Just look for Messiah in the Psalms at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. By the way, listening friend, has it been a while since we've heard from you? It's very important that if you're listening, please let us know you're out there. You know, almost every time we drop a station from our network, we receive letters from people who say, "Why did you drop our station?" But then we check our files and find out they never bothered to write while we were on their station. So don't wait until it's too late. If you enjoy the program, let us know. You see, we don't want to drop a station if people are listening and we're having a ministry in their lives. But if no one is listening, we can take those funds and go on a station somewhere else. The only way we have of knowing whether or not you're listening is if you tell us. So we'll look forward to hearing from you. Just drop us a line at Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. Or email us at info@cjfm.org. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, for another edition of Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.